Let's open the Word and see what God has for us this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 18 and verse 6. Luke 18, verse 6. The Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said." Now, this is after the story of the woman who's seeking justice and goes repeatedly to the judge, and he's an unjust or an unfair, a judge who takes bribes and such. And finally, because she's there so often, he says, "I got to get this lady out of my hair," and gives her the right judgment on her petition. So Jesus, in talking about the injustices in the world, says next, "Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" Now, this is a side note, but while we're here, let's notice this. God will avenge his people. God will avenge. Don't you avenge. Let God avenge. They result in very different outcomes. And if God's going to be the avenger, how he avenges and what he does is up to him, not up to us. Amen. Then it says, who cry out day and night to him. That tells me it could take a while and persevere and be patient and leave it in the hand of God. Then it says, though he bears long with them. Remember, God is patient. It says in the scriptures that to him a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Leave it in his hand. Then verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And I thought about that and thought, Lord, my definition of speedily and yours must be a little bit different. But again, you leave speedily into his hand. And there is a time for everything. And you know, God is merciful. I just have been impressed by that recently in some of my Bible reading. God is merciful. And the person that you want to be avenged of, if that's the right way to say that, God's merciful to them too. And gives them time to get it right. Amen. Amen. And then he says this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus is coming. And when he comes, it's a question that Jesus himself poses. Speaking it in the first person, it would be, when I come, will I find faith? Will I actually find faith on the earth? Will I really find faith? When Jesus returns, will he find faith? So the general term faith, the faith, as people say sometimes, we have to choose, is that what's being talked about? Or are we talking about, like it does in Hebrews 11, verse 6, where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are we talking about Mark chapter 11, you know, where it's talking about by faith we move mountains? My conclusion is, and most everybody I've ever talked to on this says, when it says obedience to the faith or of faith, it is faith as we understand it, believing, trusting God, acting accordingly. So to read this, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he find people walking by faith? But I've discovered something in digging through and looking into these things in the Word, because at first I was like, okay, Lord, you said faithfulness, and the first scripture you tell me to start with says faith. It doesn't say faithfulness. So I do some digging, and I find out this. The same Greek word is also translated faithful. And just think about it for a second. To be faithful is to be full of faith. To be in faith is to be full. Amen. It just makes sense. Even in English, you put it together, faithful. So this same word is sometimes translated faithful instead of faith. The Greek words themselves, when you find differences in the scripture, they're a minor variation of the same word. One letter changes. and then they're a different word. I don't know Greek. I'm not trained in Greek. I know how to look at a dictionary and read some things, you know. But Greek is such a rich language compared to English. You know, there's so many more things going on, so many more nuances that change the understanding. And for those who speak it and read it, you know, oh, it all makes sense. For us, we've got to find out, is there something significant for us that the English doesn't translate to us, doesn't bring to us? So we wouldn't know, well, I suppose faith and faithful are very similar words in English too, but in Greek, there's one letter difference. And there's only one more letter change for the word believe. The root word is basically P-I-S-T-I-S, and faithful is P-I-S-T-O-S. Change one vowel. It's really talking about the same thing. Amen. Hence, title that the Lord gave me is this: it's not faith without faithfulness. It's not faith without faithfulness. We, of course, have individuals who've heard some teaching about faith, understand faith is important. Without it, you can't please God. We're made righteous by faith, and boy, there's so much where it's, and now abides these three: faith, hope, and love, right? So it's a very important subject, and we ought to be well-versed. And everything we do for the Lord, we do by faith, believing and trusting and so on. But there's individuals who think that it's just simply what you think or what you have in your heart that you're convinced of. You'll have individuals who say things like, well, you can't tell me what I believe and don't believe. What I'm saying is I can look whether there's faithfulness or not. Because when there's genuinely faith, genuinely full of faith, there will be faithfulness. I believe we could read this scripture then, or at least consider it. Read this way: when Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? We could read it this way: when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faithfulness on the earth? What comes to mind here just as I'm standing is, you know, Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 were prepared, 5 were not, and missed. I'll say this: 5 were faithful, and 5 wanted to do a minimum and get by. Let's get really basic here for a second on these words. Again, I'm not a Greek scholar, and I'm not attempting to teach all the ins and outs of Greek because I would mess it all up. But really basic, John 3:16. That's pretty basic, right? You know the verse. You've quoted the verse. You've believed the verse. You've told others the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The word believe there is, again, a variation of the same word. Believing is not mental assent. Believing is not just considering to be true, maybe not even convinced. There's more to it. And if believing, faith, faithfulness are minor variations of the same word, the idea as a whole is you believe and you become devoted to the pursuit of. Amen. You become a fanatic. You become one committed, there all the time, on it. It's your favorite subject to talk about. We're talking about a whole giving of one's being. Faithful. Faithful. What if we read it this way? Whoever is faithful to him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not just an additional part to life. not something on the side. It's not just, when I was a kid, or, we went for a couple of years. No. It's like you all. You're still here. This word is precisely translated, believe here in this case, in English. It's translated think to be true, to believe, implying trust. When there's sufficient trust there, we follow. We follow the instructions. We find what it says in the Word, and we follow it, and we do it. We become faithful to it. An interesting thing, though, in this place, the word believe is slightly different, form of the same word. And where the previous two, faith and faithfulness, are nouns. What are nouns? Person, place, thing. If I remember right from grade school. What's a verb? An action. In this case, John 3:16, it's an action. It's a verb, not a noun. It's something you're doing. It's an action. Furthermore, the Greek language does this. I guess our English language does some as well. The word do and did. Same word, right? One's present or future tense. The other's past tense. So in the Greek language, this word believe, whosoever believes on him, is a verb, it's an action, and it's present tense. And in the Greek language, when it's in the present tense, it means now and ongoing. It's repetitive. You stay with it. Isn't that what faithfulness is? Staying with it? So when it says, whosoever shall believe on him, it's an action, it's present, and it's ongoing. That might weed out a few claims that people make. Well, am I saved? Is it ongoing? Do you believe now? Do you still believe? Are you faithful? Are you pursuing? So knowing this as a verb in present tense kind of brings a little different idea than some think, you see. Now, I understand also that some people will receive the Lord and just don't make it a lot further in their life. Are they going to make heaven? Did they get born again? That's for God to decide, not me. And there are people as well who make a commitment at some level, don't live it, and then something happens just moments before death, and they recall and they remember and call on the name of the Lord again. A genuine expression of the heart. It can come at the last moments when there's no faithfulness preceding that. So, the final determination, we leave in the hand of God. We don't know. And someone who hears the gospel and seems to never respond, when they're facing death, it could be different. Some will, some won't. So, believing on the Lord is present and ongoing action. Even if we're not thinking about others and did they do that, let's think about ourselves. Is there present, ongoing faith, faithfulness? Anything present and ongoing in following the Lord is not just believing, it's faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Before we go to the next verse, the mysteries of God, in the New Testament, it tells us that through the Holy Spirit, He reveals the mysteries of God. That Jesus would die as a sacrifice for the world and be resurrected was a mystery. Even though Jesus talked about it, it was a mystery to His disciples until their eyes were opened. In a congregation like ours, we've been hearing teaching of the Word, some of us, for many, many, many years. Many of the mysteries are open to us, and we understand. The world can't see it, but you see it. And so those mysteries of God, those revelations of God, those truths. Remember, Jesus talked in parables. He said, so those that don't believe won't see it, but those that believe will see it. mysteries. Mysteries are revealed by the Spirit of God. And when those mysteries, those things that are revealed, and you know them, you're a steward of them. What is a steward? A steward is to oversee and maintain and take care of. So the mysteries, the revelation, the things that God has given you and me, we're to maintain them, to protect them, to keep them going. Can you see ongoing faith, faithfulness? We're stewards. Then it says this in verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Amen. When God shows you something, it's not just for your amazement, not just for your entertainment and enjoyment. It's not for your knowledge base. It's to feed you the life of God and the Scriptures to improve you, to sustain you. And these things that God shows us, we need to be reminded of them. We need to keep them alive. Remember what was said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do. Yes. Amen. That's what we're talking about. That's a steward of the mysteries, of the revelation. The things that God has given us, we're to be faithful to them. 1 Corinthians 4:2 in the Living Bible, but it says here, now the most important thing about a servant is that he does just what his master tells him to. If we're stewards of mysteries, if we're faithful, we'll do just what the Lord tells us to do. We might say here, nothing more and nothing less. You get in trouble either way. Do what the Lord tells you to do, nothing more, nothing less. Faithfulness is not a feeling, an attitude, or a demeanor that one has. It is doing just exactly what one is told to do. Now, there are many simple instructions in the Word of God that are to each of us individually and generally. There are specific instructions of God to different individuals. Say for Sandy and I, we are instructed to go to Rhema Bible Training Center and be equipped for the ministry. That was God's specific instruction to us, not to you. Well, maybe it could be to you. If he doesn't say that to you, it's not the same thing. You might go to Rhema just for benefit in your life, and it would. You might go to Bible school just for that. That's okay. But we, as part of God's plan for our life. But there are many other scriptures that every believer, every faithful believer, should receive in as instruction, and then just don't go, isn't that nice? No, it becomes part of you, part of what you do, part of what you're faithful to, part of the ongoing believing in the Lord. Many of these simple instructions in the Word of God, believers somehow dismiss as unimportant or not applicable to them. I don't think that's that important. Oh, there's so many of them. The Scripture tells us we must forgive. There's a bunch of them. And yet people don't. I looked at this morning concerning thankfulness. Scriptures tell us be thankful, yet many are not. All kinds of simple instructions. And if we're not faithful to what He's told us by the Word, how can we be in faith for blessings? There are individuals who, let's just take a couple of these, they're just not a thankful individual. And because there's a lack of gratitude in their life, yet they're believing, God, do this for me, God, do that for me, God, do this for me, and they may know those scriptures. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But they have a problem over here with thankfulness. and maybe something else, simple in the Word, that blocks the blessing of God. There's things like, I'll give testimony for Pastor Sandy and I. We were in desperate need of financial blessing in our lives, just married. In fact, she had a bit of an inheritance. We had opened a construction business and going along fine for 2 years, and then it seemed like we couldn't catch a blessing or a break of any kind. Blew through the inheritance pretty much. Got to where the business was in terrible shape, owed all kinds of money. And at the time, I thought, I'm not going to just quit. Went to the bank and borrowed money just for capital to operate the business. Got in all kind of trouble. You know the thing about people, you get bitter or you get better? And I said, I'm turning to God and we're going to get better. And Sandy not only was right with me, but even leading in some of this. I thank God for her heart to pursue God. Both of us came to these verses in Matthew chapter 6. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, which Jesus was referring to, food, shelter, and clothing. There's the basics. We needed those things. We needed them bad. And at that point in time, we have one child, and in a season of another one on the way. And it lasted a while for us, ending up with four of them. But in that season, we needed those things. Found that verse, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And right then and there, we made a choice and a decision, and we've been faithful to it ever since. What I'm saying is my faith in the Lord shows in my faithfulness. What if I didn't seek first the kingdom? What if I made it a third or fourth or fifth priority? Would God be obligated to meet my needs, food, shelter, and clothing? Not if I haven't taken His verse and followed it faithfully. And we did. And through the years, you know, God began to bless us then, took some years to get out of debt and so on. You know, there's just many of these. We saw in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Good verse, great verse. I like that heaped up blessing. Anybody in here like that heaped up blessing? I have to receive and be faithful to the entirety of the verse. Give, and it shall be given to you. Then Jesus says, with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I honestly cannot have faith for finances without faithfulness to the Scriptures and my instruction concerning finances. And when Jesus Himself says the measure that you use, Paul wrote it a different way. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Sow generously, you'll reap generously. What I'm telling you is, what I'm saying is, I don't want to sound like I'm speaking down to anybody. You cannot have faith for generous reaping without being faithful to the Word and His instruction, be generous in giving. Another scripture, simple instructions. I believe this one is Hebrews. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves. That's talking about gathering as a church. No, we just sit home. We watch our favorite TV preacher. We have a Bible time. We do home church. That's not what the Word says. Number one, it's a manifestation of selfishness because you're serving no one. And there's many scriptures about serving one another in the context of the body of Christ. And maybe that's something to be said there as well. Church attendance, good. Where are you serving? I serve by occupying one of the seats. I'm here, aren't I? There's very simple instructions in the Word that we serve one another. And people, in my view, don't seem to understand you have cut off so much blessing from your life if you're only a receiver and not a giver. You have cut off so much blessing. It's not faith without faithfulness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I found out when I give, even if I don't ask for it, I still get blessing. Amen. Amen. There's a scripture that says, just simple instruction, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and he would rebuke the devourer, right? I was thinking on that a little bit here recently, and I don't know, it's a couple years back, but I shared it to try to help other people, you know, kind of open the window to our lives, because there's things to be learned in our experience, and that's part of what a preacher does. I want to show how we live, not how we proclaim. Preaching or proclaiming without living, it's pretty empty and powerless. But shared the story how I got tricked, had Bitcoin in an account, and stolen from me right before my very eyes. I got tricked in a tech help situation. I thought I was talking with a company, and I was in fact talking with a scammer, and took the Bitcoin that Pastor Sandy had invested in at the time, worth about $4,500 or so. Drained away. I felt used, deceived. That one bothered me quite a lot, right? The enemy got to me. How did that happen? You know, I don't know. I lack sensitivity to the Spirit of God somehow or another. But anyway, that happened. I got to thinking here recently, Lord, you restore.
Amen.
Been thinking about Job a little bit. Restore. Job was restored twice as much as he had before, right? I got thinking, well, about $4,500 was taken from me that way. And just since November, I have received from people giving to me more than twice that. And I thought to myself, I almost missed that. If I hadn't thought on that, I would have missed God doubled my loss. Amen. Pastor Dan, you're talking over $9,000. Yeah, that's right. God is good.
Amen.
God is good. The bulk of it came from ministers. Not here necessarily, but here too. People have blessed me. Amen. I guess what I'm saying is you have to follow the scriptures. Give, and it shall be given to you. Bring the tithe, and he will rebuke the devourer. And restore. Now, this is like when I was 23 and I'm 64. So what is that, 41 years? We've been following the Word of God concerning our finances, Pastor Sandy and I. And I thought a lot about this, and I thought, you know, just kind of asking the Lord, and I seem to have the green light. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Sandy's always nervous about how much I shared from our personal lives, but if you don't know about it, I mean, did it bless anybody to hear that my money was returned to me double?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord did that? Amen.
Praise God.
It's been 41 years of seeking the Lord, following the scriptures that way. And I guess I'll just go ahead and say it. The Lord has made us millionaires.
Praise God. Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Am I bragging? I'm testifying. A lot of people, if you don't know someone who followed the Word and saw it working in their life, it's hard to think it's possible. There's been a lot of demands upon our house. We're taking care of Pastor Sandy and all of that. And on a cash flow basis, we have had to really believe God. There was even a time where all of our resources were in investment accounts. The investment accounts were frozen because the brokerage house wasn't sure about the court order that made me her financial guardian, court-appointed guardian. They did not accept that at face value. And all of that money was in joint names, both our names. So they shut it down and I couldn't touch it. We went for months believing God. When I say we, Sandy was not aware of these things, but Tammy and I believe in God for enough to buy food and pay the bills. Amen. We didn't say anything about it at the time, you know, on paper, millionaire, in living, trusting God moment by moment. And it took some months to straighten that out, and we had to go to court. The judge found in our favor, as he obviously would, wrote an order to the investment house that was pretty sternly worded and really reprimanded them, and they backed up in a hurry. Praise the Lord. I guess I would say that part because it don't matter where you're at, you're still going to have to follow God and believe God. Well, I'll become a millionaire and all my troubles will be over. Not so fast. Not so fast. Sometimes the numbers just get bigger, the problems just get bigger. But I am here to testify. Sandy and I have been faithful to His word. Give and it shall be given you. Bring the whole tithe. And if we didn't follow His word, He's not obligated. Both of those words are conditional. Faith is not faith without faithfulness. And I know individuals throughout all the years we've pastored who don't bring the tithe, who don't give generously, but they're believing God to have their needs met and an increase in their finances. And I don't know if I don't right there oppose them to their face. Tell them, it'll never work for you. You're disobeying the word. Maybe I should be that plain with individuals. Tell the truth in love. Right? Praise the Lord. It said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So again, the Bible is full of simple instructions, and somehow people dismiss themselves from those instructions. That's not faithfulness. That's not believing in a present tense, ongoing, acting accordingly, ongoing. Amen. Without fidelity to these scriptures, how is it that they think the blessings of God are working for them? Oh, I've had my share of individuals. How are you? Oh, blessed and highly favored. And I want to say to them, yeah, right. I haven't seen it in your life. And they're trying real hard by confessing that. But I know what the issue is. One that I'm thinking of right now absolutely refused to serve anywhere. Wanted the church to support them, give the money for this, give their family money for that, and so on. Okay, fine. Why don't you come and clean in the building a little bit, you know? Help us. No. You know, there are instructions in the Bible concerning the care of widows, as for instance. The Bible clearly says those who've ministered to the saints, in other words, they were faithful, they served, they continue to serve, in whatever capacity they can. That's where the Bible instructs, take care of those folks. But not the ones who are unfaithful. Amen. And so a church is not obligated to take care of everybody who has a need. We're looking for faithfulness. Why? Because the Word prescribes it. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. There's a simple instruction from the Word. Praise the Lord. Have I meddled enough? Do I move on now? Got to give some real world, down to earth, very basic stuff. Now, I realize I'm preaching to people who are following these things or more closely following them than the ones who need to hear it, who are out there at home sleeping in because it went to daylight savings time this morning. Right? And don't see a reason to attend church and all of that. Matthew 25. Pastor Webb does this thing in his church. John just quoted it. He talks about it some. He's encouraging people in his church. He has been a very prosperous man for very many years, and it's no surprise that he's a millionaire and then some. And of course, there's something to be said about time. Folks, we've been investors, Sandy and I, for many years. And over time, our investments have returned richly to us. God has blessed our savings and investments. You know, it's not an overnight thing. That's with time. But anyway, back to Pastor Webb. He as well, many years that he invested and so on. So in his church, you'll say from one millionaire to another. And he's got the people saying that in his church, right? He just recently shared how one individual said, oh, yeah, right, you know, that seems kind of silly to say. But then, I think it was a female in his story, then said, it started to become something more alive to me, and I started saying it with you, and said, you know, my faith is growing that way. Amen. And it's starting to become a part of them. Praise the Lord. So don't just throw these things away. Amen? So from one millionaire to another. Is that what he does? I salute you. Yeah. Yes. From one millionaire to another, I salute you. Now, you'd be surprised. Kankakee County is a wealthy county. No, there are millionaires all over our county. You know, there's a book called The Millionaire Next Door. Most of the millionaires don't tell you that they're millionaires. And I did, and I don't know if I should have, but whatever. Felt like maybe the Lord said this time, go ahead and do that. You got to know somebody who did it. Or God prospered that way. Or you, I don't know anybody that word's working for them. Yes, you do. You know me. And why would God do it for me? Because he wants to do it for others. And he puts his ministers out as examples. Paul wrote to Timothy to be an example of faith. Amen. So I'm an example of faith. Praise the Lord. Well, you'll love me or hate me for it, but Matthew 25, verse 20, please. And maybe later in life, you don't have that time that I spoke of. Maybe a million is pretty far out there. Well, how about just doing better than you are now? How about things just getting a little more free, a little more prosperous? How about that? Can we meet there for a little more prosperity? And if the enemy is stolen from you, I'd like to see double return to you as well. Give and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And no, that's not exactly right, because somewhere in there is, shall men give unto your bosom. Well, Pastor Dan, you're the pastor. People give you money. They don't give me money. Don't you put that limitation on there. It didn't say, pastors, give and it shall be given to you. Amen. It's anyone who chooses to give, that measure will be measured back to them. If you're not faithful to that word, how can you expect that result? Matthew 25, we got to talk about the talents. And we're skipping most of it, grabbing the pertinent verses here, verse 20. It says, so he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. And Jesus starts this parable with saying, I don't remember which verse, but he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, or is as if. He's teaching, this is how things work in the kingdom of heaven, and then he tells a story. First of all, somebody's going to, I don't know, maybe reject this, but first thing I see is the Lord is a capitalist. He expects money to make money. It's work it, invest, and produce more. This, you could say it this way. This world has two kinds of people. Makers and takers. And he supports, the Lord teaches, be a maker.
I make a lot of money.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. I can't help thinking about that old Saturday Night Live sketch where the guy was the baseball player from the Caribbean somewhere, and he would say, "Baseball have been very, very good to me." And I always say, "The Lord been very, very good to me." Amen. I am testifying faith in the Word, faithfulness following the Word. The Word comes to pass in your life, and He will exceed what you ask or think.
Amen.
It seems so unlikely at certain points in our lives, Sandy and I, that we could ever be millionaires, but the Lord made us such. We did our part, but the Lord, oh, He's good. He's good. And it's not all about money, but money helps get things done, helps people, solves problems, takes care of things, and so on. But it said here, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The highest compliment that can be given is to be spoken over you by the Lord, good and faithful. Good and faithful. The highest, I think from a number of scriptures, the highest attribute that you can ever find to attain to as a Christian, as a believer, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, I look at some things, and for instance, I hear other pastors talk about churches and so on. This week, heard one guy talk a little bit, talking about four services in his church and opening another campus and things like that. And you think, you know, why couldn't we be doing that and all of that, you know? But whoa, wait a minute. This parable here, one's given five talents, another's given two talents, another's given one. I may be the one-talent guy. And the one-talent guy, you know the story, he hid his Lord's money. He didn't put it to work. He sat on it. He's called wicked, lazy, right? Well, if I'm only a one-talent guy, I'm going to be faithful with the one. So I'm going to be faithful in Kankakee County. I'm going to minister to those who show up. Those who don't show up, I don't know. But I'm going to be faithful here, and I'm going to call it a good work, a pleasant work. I'm not going to despise the size. Then it goes on here, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler or steward over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." There is a joy about being faithful and being given more. And there's people, through the years, there's been individuals who have said things to me like, you know, I should open my pulpit to them, I should recognize them, and so on. And I'm thinking to myself, you haven't been faithful in what you have. God's not going to open that door to you, you know. And one individual, two individuals I can think of, told me it was my job to promote them and bring them up and advance them, that I'm supposed to be doing that for them. You want to pastor a church? Fine. Go pastor a church. You want to be up there speaking? Fine. Find some people who will listen to you speak. Amen. Apparently you all are okay with coming and hearing Pastor Dan talk today. But if I put up in front somebody had a wrong heart about things, expected to be recognized and respected and called pastor and all of that stuff, oh, that would be dull, dead, harmful, and you would go, why did Pastor Dan do that? There is a joy to fulfilling your ministry calling where you're at, whether it be much or little, and if you're faithful with little, He'll give you more.
Amen.
So if somebody wants to say, oh, this just little church here, for me, be faithful. Just be faithful. If there were three of you this morning, I'd be faithful to you three. Praise the Lord. Because it's not about you all nor being recognized. It's about, am I doing what He asked me to do? That's it. Am I doing what He asked me to do? Many Christians think they can gain more simply by faith believing. But in this parable, the Master looks at faithfulness and what was done and what was accomplished. Again, it's not faith without faithfulness. Or said another way, faith produces faithfulness. How do you know if you're in faith? You're faithful to that word. You're faithful in the pursuit. You don't stop. You persevere. Setbacks come, but you persevere. Setbacks come, and you say, but the Lord said. We've had plenty of setbacks, just particularly with Pastor Sandy, her health and so on, and it's now 6+ years. We've had individuals that would say things like, you know, if the Lord was going to heal her, had He done it by now? Well, they just are clueless.
Amen.
But if you're truly believing and a setback happens, that doesn't change you. Paul wrote it this way, none of these things move me. Amen. Genuine faith produces faithfulness. And we remind ourselves, Sandy and I know I tell this all the time, but you got to hear again and again, and I'll say it again every night. We say, the Lord is good, compassionate, merciful, and kind, and He always keeps His word. Now, if I believe that He always keeps His word, it doesn't matter if I've had a setback. That doesn't mean that's the end. If it takes a long time, that doesn't mean it won't happen.
Amen.
She's blowing kisses at me. Faith produces faithfulness. If you know a believer, a Christian, and you don't see faithfulness to simple instructions in the Word, don't look for the fruition and the harvest and the blessing to really materialize in their lives. And if they think it's going to anyway, they are self-deluded. Amen. Faithfulness is the test and measure of faith. Faithfulness to that word is your test. It's your test. On this measure, many come short. I don't know, are you excited about this or not? To me, it's pretty exciting. I am on track. How about you? Luke 16:9. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that is the money system. And there's some things about this verse that are a bit of a head-scratcher. I know that. Not going to address those today. That when they fail, or when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. It says this next. He who is faithful in what is least, other translation says little, is also faithful in much. And he who is unjust, or should we say unfaithful, in what is least, is also unjust in much. Now it says faithful in what is least, faithful in much, unfaithful. Well, I'll just read on. Verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now let me help you a little bit here. Money? Are we talking about money? That's one of the criticisms that usually in a roundabout way eventually comes my way. Somebody wrote an online review about our church one time. All he talks about is money. Well, that's not true. But I do dare talk about money. Why? Money reveals the heart. You want to know what somebody's all about? Look at their spending, what they spend on. Maybe most of the time you're going to find they're about themselves. But faithfulness in money, why is faithfulness in money important? Because there's instructions concerning money in the Word and concerning the heart and selfishness. Just reading this morning, Jesus teaching to lend to people who have, paraphrasing, no hope of repaying you. And I said, Lord, I don't think I like that. I got to lend to a deadbeat. On the other hand, if he tells me to, I'll consider it the money gone, but I'll do what he says. But why must one be faithful in money? Because money is maybe the best revealer of the heart. And it's a heart issue, not a money issue. If the Lord has your heart, he has your money. And I'll just be bold and proclaim it. If he doesn't have one's money, he doesn't have their heart either. And they are unfaithful. It can be remedied. It can be corrected. Again, 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? In other words, there's things even better than money. Yes, there are. There certainly are. And money can be a great servant to facilitate some of those things. Amen. We give toward building out this building. Why? Because of what will happen in here, what does happen in here, what we expect. That's why. It's an investment into people, not real estate. And then verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Just know this, you're going to start, at least, serving someone else. And God's looking and watching. Because how you serve someone else will indicate how you'll serve him. Again, there are people that want, through the years, wanted their own ministry, want this and that. Well, the Lord starts you in another man's ministry or another person's ministry. And if they don't prove faithful, he's not going to give them the true riches. I know of many that have been part of our church for a while, some serve, some not so much, and thought that they were called to go out and do it. And I don't know of not one successful operation. Not one. They go do their thing, may look wonderful for a while, but it fades. It falls away. It comes down to they were unfaithful. Well, what if that individual asked me to do something that I can't see it in as being right? That's not right. Well, are we talking about something illegal? If we're not talking about something illegal, even if you don't agree, what do? You do what you're asked to do, the way you're asked to do it. Well, I just can't see it. God doesn't show all the people all the reason. He may show the pastor, and the pastor may tell the reason or may not. So there's too many that have been unfaithful in another man's. We could take this out of the church and into the workplace. Somebody's hired you to do a job, and as long as they're paying, you do what they ask you to do the way they ask you to do it. Now, if they're smart, they're open to suggestions. But after the suggestion, if they say, no, just do it the way we want you to do it, you're done. And if you can't live with that, it's time for you to go. Not them. Happens that way in church too. It'll be time for them to go. The Lord will, you know, they'll quit with something. Faithfulness is the proof of faith. Without faithfulness, there is not active faith. Faithfulness is an expression, an outworking of faith. Faithfulness is the works that James references. I'll show you my faith by my works. Let's say it this way. He showed his faith by his faithfulness. No one will be given more by the Lord without faithfulness. Again, call to mind the steward with the one talent that buried it in the ground, said, "You're a harsh man," and all those things that he said. The master in the parable said, "Well, you could have at least deposited in the bank and got interest." It's very clear the Lord expects faithfulness, and he expects us to produce, be makers, not takers. Amen. Let's go to Acts 6 and verse 3, please. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." There was trouble inside the church. They were taking care of widows. There was one ethnic group not receiving the same care that another ethnic group was. Complaint was made to the apostles. The apostles said, "We don't want to leave our ministry work to administrate the distribution of food and such," and said, "Look for qualified individuals." What was the qualifications? Good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and appoint them to see to this business. That's what's happening here. Verse 4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." Verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit." And others are listed here as well. We'll not go through those. But Stephen is described as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And he is chosen and charged with the responsibility as a deacon. Take care of the affairs and the work and the stuff going on inside the church, so the ministers, the apostles in this case, could stay in their lane, in their ministry. But he's described as a man full of faith. Well, we've already talked about how interchangeable these things are. Stephen was faithful. And he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Oh, we ought to make a minister out of him, right? We're going to appoint him responsibilities lower than that first, and let him prove himself faithful, as he was already observed to be. And later, Stephen is much more than a deacon. If you go to the 8th, Acts chapter 6, 8, says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power." Now it's not just full of faith in the Holy Spirit, it's faith and power. There are individuals, "Ooh, I want to be one that God manifests power through." Well, faithfulness comes first. "Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." How did Stephen get to this appointment? Working with signs, wonders, and miracles and power? By faithfulness. By taking the job as deacon, whatever it would entail, taking whatever position and proving himself faithful in that position. Undoubtedly, these seven got these things all in order. Stephen maybe became up and rose up as a leader, produced faithfulness, full of the Spirit, wisdom, and so on. And he becomes the one the Lord uses to work miracles and signs and wonders. Faithfulness to his previous charge is how Stephen gets here. "He who is faithful in little will also be faithful in much." Stephen was full of faith because he was full of faithfulness. And then back to the talents here. Last scripture, Matthew 25, 28. Matthew 25, 28. "So take the talent from him," that is the lazy servant, "and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." This is so contrary to modern thinking. And, in today's world, someone who has very little, well, that's virtuous that we give them all the what makes up the difference. That's not what the Bible teaches. Makers and takers. And the takers will have even what they have taken from them. Spiritual laws supersede our ideas. Those who are faithful are going to receive more till they have an abundance. And okay, so today, Pastor Dan, I don't know what you want to call it, was foolish enough to tell everybody he was a millionaire. So now, he don't need nothing, don't anybody ever give him anything ever again. That's not how it works in the kingdom. You can decide that for yourself if you want. When Christmas present comes around, he don't need it. That's true, I don't. The people who understand principles of the kingdom may say, no, wait a minute. That's good ground. Look at what's being produced. And give all the more. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. People don't like this. But it's how it works in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. To the one who's faithful in his master's instructions, he is given even more.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, told you all the truth on this today. Would you be surprised if someday Pastor Dan has 2 million?
Hallelujah.
Seed reproduces after its own kind.
Yes.
Especially if you have investment, on average, doubles in 7 years.
Don't forget the jet.
We're going to follow God. We're going to follow God. We're going to follow God. $2 million doesn't go very far for a jet.
It's coming.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I can go some places in the little airplane for right now. But praise the Lord. Understand how it works in the kingdom of God. And that's right. Not what people think.
Amen.
Not what governments think.
Amen.
Not even what some preachers think. Who's the virtuous ones in the story, the parable of the talents? The two who were faithful. And the guy who zeroed out, even what he had was taken from him. Without faithfulness, it's not faith. Without faithfulness, it's not faith. And so for you, I don't know for every one of us, there may be something the Lord says, this right here, make sure you're faithful in that area. And as you are, the harvest, the word will work for you. And you'll be given more. Unfaithful with a thing, you start going backwards. You start losing. Father, we bless you and thank you this day. How do we describe this word? Lord, it teaches, it instructs, it maybe even shows reproof, maybe even rebuke. But nonetheless, the truth, Jesus, you said it this way, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. So we've had opportunity this morning to hear truth. Father, if I've misspoken in some way, let that fall away. But I believe I've pretty accurately followed your spirit, your word. And we've spoken these truths. And why have we spoken these? That we may be faithful to these words, to your word. And as we're faithful, we'll reap an abundance of blessing and harvest of every kind. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you now as we receive offering in our church. And we again remind ourselves, Lord, you said, give and it shall be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. With the same measure that we use, it's measured back to us. If we're faithful to that word, you're faithful to that word as well. So, Father, we just thank you for abundance in offering, abundance in our building fund. We're going to keep on building, keep on working, because you are sending a move upon the earth, and it's coming quickly. It's coming soon. Father, we thank you for that and the harvest for every giver. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. If somebody ever asks me, Pastor Dan, what'd you do to become a millionaire? First of all, we got to talk about the blessing of the Lord. Second, we got to talk about how I qualified for that and the Lord could do what he did. Third, we'll talk about the mechanics, investment, things like that. You know, there's some things there. So anyway, praise the Lord. That's the order of those things. Hallelujah. And if you ever wanted to ask more questions about any of those three areas, I'd be very happy to talk to you about it. Amen? Ha! Praise the Lord. I'm sliding into home, and the umpire says, safe. God bless you all. We'll see you next Sunday.